Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. Oh, coming through loud and clear. That's really nice. Hey, it's been great. As Joe and Jeanette have mentioned, we had a very good time last week. We had the church nice and full. Herb and Tammy were here to share with us. And we, as a church, want to have such events on the regular. And so we are looking at having some more speakers, including Herb, to come back, actually, if he wants to come back. I'm sure he does. And we're going to have some of those things. Now, I just wanted to let you know, as a church, that when we have those speakers come in, they're not necessarily just for us. They're not just for the saints, the Adventists, the ones that come in week after week. Those are actually the times where we want to invite our friends and family to come along. We at Wantirna want to be a spiritual church. We also want to be an evangelistical church. We want to be able to reach out to people. We've got a whole huge community out here that is not being touched. We have our ADRA, which is doing such a good job to feed them physically, but we really do want to feed them spiritually as well. So please keep your church in prayer as we continue to try and reach out to the community and those around us. And we know we can't do any of that without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why things like our prayer group in the mornings of Sabbath and, of course, on Wednesday night are so important, because we want that to be a part of our DNA as a church. But it is great to be able to be with you today as we jump into a very special communion service for the Sabbath. And just a quick question, because the weather has been very interesting lately. Who here really enjoyed the sunshine yesterday? Did anyone go to the beach? Now, here's the thing I cannot understand, is that people from Melbourne will go to the beach with a high of 18. See, because we're from Queensland, and so when anything is less than 25, you don't go to the beach. That's just weird. But when yesterday we woke up and we saw the sunshine and we went out, my wife and I, we asked ourselves the question, what should we do on this really exciting hot day? And we checked the weather, high of 18, and we thought, we've become Victorians, haven't we? Because that, you know, we would have never said that. But it's been an exciting time. Hopefully spring will wake up eventually in Victoria. I think it's going to be a nice week as well. But it's glad to have you. If you're online, welcome as well, wherever you are tuning in from. I'm going to have a very quick message today, because the main part of our service, if you've never been to a communion service before, is about what you see behind me. But I will give you a bit of a taste as we jump in. Now, the message for today is entitled Christ's Upside Kingdom. And I hope, yes, hopefully we can have the PowerPoint on the back, because I do want to show a picture and ask you if you know who it is. So I might just wait for that to kick in. Hopefully it will jump in. Or I might have to change my sermon on the fly. Ah, there we go. All right. I want you to look on the screen, and I want you to put your hand up if you know who the picture is. Ready? Oh, yep, Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, over in Australia, we're not really that kind of tuned in to, I'll say soccer, but really it's football, you have to say it properly. And Cristiano Ronaldo, if you don't know who he is, then obviously you're not in tune with most of the rest of the world. Because something happened 2 weeks ago. He created a YouTube channel called You Are Cristiano, and it broke the world record for the most subscribers in the shortest amount of time. What he had when he started the YouTube account is he had 1 million subscribers in a total of 1.5 hours. That's pretty quick. In fact, when you do the math, it is 3 subscribers a second were coming in to click on to Cristiano Ronaldo's YouTube channel. Now, here's the crazy part. Across all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, now YouTube, he has a total of 1 billion followers. Now, how many people live on this earth? About what? About 8 billion. Thank you for the accountant over there. That's 1/8 of the world's population, around about, there might be some double ups there, are following one man. Now, do you think that is a good thing or a bad thing? I want to hear. Put your hand up if you think it's a good thing that 1/8 of the population of the world is following one man. Put your hand up. No one. Well, then I assume that most of us think it's bad. Now, it's actually not bad if the person is good. If they're a good influence, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But too often, people who hit that kind of height of influence and power, and money, by the way, he's quite rich, tend to not be the best influence there is. And when we think of this influence, it's so crazy to think that when he releases one post, one tweet, one video, almost 1/8 of the world sees it instantly. Isn't that crazy power? In fact, I want to show you just a few more stats. So this is Cristiano Ronaldo. Again, he has 1 billion followers. He is worth about $903 million net worth. I would have thought he hit a billion by now, but he's almost there. All right, Taylor Swift. She has 550 million followers, and she's worth about $1.1 billion. She just hit the billion mark a few weeks ago. Kim Kardashian, 468 million followers and $1.7 billion net worth. Isn't that crazy? Michael Jordan, this is one of my favorites. 30 million followers, $3.5 billion net worth. Now, let me ask you a question, church. Can you see a pattern just with the four people that I showed you? Can you see anything that kind of stood out? What was it? What was that over there? The number of followers is correlated with? Is not correlated with earth worth. That's true. What we can kind of see across all of them, though, is that it's very hard to find someone who is not rich who does not also have a lot of followers. They're usually hand in hand. If you look at, I think, the top 10 most followed people in the world online, they are all worth something, you know, with their net worth. Now, I want to ask you something. For those who heard Herb's sermons last week, he talked about a ladder. Does anyone remember the ladder? Now, with the ladder, he was saying that when we kind of do what we do in the world, we aim for certain things, rich, wealth, power, status, all these different things. And we tend to want to climb the ladder. And when we try and climb the ladder, does anyone remember what Herb said is at the top? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing at the top of the ladder. Now, when we talk about these influential people, oh, we've lost it, that's all right. I want to ask you, is there one more person who has more followers than any of those people that I've mentioned? Who do you think it is? Jesus. How many Christians are reported to be in the world today? Do you know? Does anyone know what the number is? Yeah, two and a bit billion. So there's actually about a third of the global population of the world claim to be Christian. Now, there's almost a third who are Muslim, and the other third are kind of a race for everything else. But we have almost a third of the followers following this person that we call Christ. Now, what was his net worth when he died? Zero. He didn't have anything, right? Now, it's interesting to see this kind of way the world progresses, where the rich and the powerful and the influential, almost in that kind of same vein, but Jesus comes along, who has the most influence of anyone else ever who's walked and lived on this earth, and he was worth nothing financially. And I want to be able just to share with you something today that hopefully you can remember. Because we're talking about the upside-down kingdom of Christ. The kingdom that we live on this world is the more you climb up that ladder, the more you gain until you get to nothing. But the upside-down kingdom of Christ is this. The greatest is not the one that others serve, but the one that serves others. Can you remember that? The greatest is not the one that others serve, but the one that serves others. I want to go through just a little time through the Bible. So grab your Bibles. We're going to look at John 13. John chapter 13. And I want you to find yourself in the verse 14 and 15 to start off with. But keep your finger in John 13, because that's where we're going to stay for the rest of this message. John 13, verses 14 to 15. And I've got it on the screen for you there, if you don't have your Bibles with you. And it starts off like this. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now, if you've ever come to a communion service, you know that a part of our tradition is we go out and we wash each other's feet. And it has been a while since I've preached a message on the significance of the feet washing. We usually kind of focus on the bread and the grape juice, but the foot washing is so important because it is a command that is given to us. But I want us to maybe understand what's going on here, because we don't really see the benefit of it other than let me make sure that I've had a shower the night before or shaved my legs or making sure that everything is okay, because I don't want to be embarrassed when I get my foot or feet washed. But we do forget about the symbolism behind why we actually do it in the first place. So we're going to start, kind of stay in John 13, and I want you to go all the way to verse 1. Because it gives us context to the command of the foot washing. We'll kind of see what is going on. In verse 1, it says this. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he had loved them to the very end. What's something that we notice here in that first chapter is that Jesus knew from the beginning that he was going to go. He was going to die. He was going to suffer. He was going to go through everything that he went through. And see, unlike the celebrities that we kind of saw there, if you are one of the followers of any one of those people, I can guarantee for you, they don't know who you are. If you're one of those billion followers that follow Cristiano Ronaldo, I can guarantee to you that he doesn't know what your name is. But here's the interesting thing about Jesus is that even before we have the Passover celebration, it says that he loved his disciples. Do you know what that means? Is that the followers of Christ are known by their name. And they are loved by Jesus. In fact, Jesus loved you so much, he thought about you before he went to the cross. And what makes this even more amazing is the week that he had. You see, on Sunday, does anyone know what happened on Palm Sunday? That gives you a clue. What did Jesus do? How did he come into Jerusalem? As a king. As a king of the Jews. He comes in and he is welcomed with praise and honor. On Monday, he goes to the temple and he sees buying and selling in the temple. What does he do? He flips the tables. He gets angry. So his week has already gone from really great to not so great. On Tuesday, what happens? He fights with the religious leaders. He finds the Pharisees and he tells them off for what they're doing. On Thursday, he has his Passover celebration, which is what we're going to be emulating. And sitting next to him on the table was a man that he had been with for 3.5 years, who he knew was going to betray him. You could probably say that that was a week from hell, literally. He came in as a king, and then he got hit every single way he could during that whole week. And there's something else that kind of adds to this, because we read of this story of the disciples arguing with each other in Luke 22, and we don't actually realize that it happens just before the Passover feast, where the disciples are arguing who is the best out of all of them. Who's going to be sitting on the right side of Christ in a second coming? They're all arguing about who's better just before the Passover. If I was Jesus and I saw all of this bickering and all of this craziness and I knew that I had to die for these people, I would be pretty sad at that point. And you would think that being with these people for 3.5 years, having the disciples follow you day in, day out, seeing your nature, and they still completely missed it the day before you died for them. Isn't that a bit heartbreaking to be able to have that? Maritza and I have been married for 8 years, together for 12. Thank you. And frequently what we find is when we are having conversations or we do something that maybe is not what the other person likes, we have the sentence that we say quite frequently, and it is, even after 12 years together, you still don't know that I blank. Does anyone have those conversations? It's been so long since we've been together, and still you don't realize that I don't like the wet towels on the floor. We've been together for 25 years, and you still don't even know what my Subway order is. Right? You understand what I'm talking about, don't you, church? Because we think about the relationship that we've had together, and we are so dumbfounded as to how the person that's with us for so long still does not understand who we are. And you can imagine Jesus thinking in his head, come on, guys. It's been so long since we've been together. I'm going to die for you tomorrow. How did you miss this? But you see that there is a lesson here. And just so amazing how Jesus is. You read this in verse 3 to 5. John 13, 3 to 5. Look at the response that Jesus has to all of this. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So in response to that, what happens? He got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Notice the context, church. What happens at the start? Jesus knew that he was from the Father and that everything was his. In other words, he knew that he was God. And the response to that, to know that he had everything in the world that he wanted, he was going to have all the followers in the world, he was going to be the most influential man, what does he do in response to that? He gets on his knees and he washes his disciples' feet. Can you imagine any one of those people that I showed you, the influencers, coming to you, humbling themselves and washing your feet? It would be ridiculous. Could you imagine right now, Taylor Swift walking right through here, wanting to join in with the foot washing and washing our feet? Could you imagine that? Maybe someone would. I don't think she would do that, because that is not the way of the world. But it is the way of the upside-down kingdom of Christ. This is why we do foot washing, because it is a response to understanding that we are children of God. When you know that you are a child of God, you know that you are worth immeasurably anything of this earth. You are so valuable. And so in response to that, we serve each other. Doesn't matter who you have in front of you. You could be washing the feet of somebody who is a devout Adventist and loves God, great. But you could also be in a position where you have to wash the feet of someone who hates you. And yet we still do it. Why? Because we follow Christ. Because the greatest is not the one that others serve, but the one that serves others. I want to show you a video, and then we'll kind of split off into our foot washing. I hope that the volume will work for us. This is a video that I saw many years ago. And normally, just by the way, I don't like videos of people helping homeless people, mainly because I think that the intention behind it is wrong. Usually they do it so that they can feel good about themselves or show to others that they're doing great things. But this video is slightly different. So I want you to watch it, and then we'll split.
When you give homeless people money, do you ever wonder how they spent it? Today I'm going to give a homeless guy $100, and I'm going to follow him and see how he spent it. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right.
I'm Josh.
I'm
Muhammad. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I just tried to make him up to give me something to eat.
I just want to, like, give back to people.
Yeah.
Not going to be that much, but...
Hey, anything's appreciated. Oh, goodness.
It's just $100 here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, just keep it. It's your money now.
Oh, that's...
Just want, you know...
No, really, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, it's yours.
I'm starting to tear up.
No, it's okay.
That's like incredible.
It's okay, it's all right.
I've never... Can I?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I've never had this in my life.
Nice meeting you. I hope you can, you know, have a good use of that money.
It will be, sir.
Okay, great. See ya. Just keep filming. Just make sure he doesn't see you. Alright, he just came out. What'd he get? Alright, let's go across the street. Let's go, go, go. Let's go. Go follow him.
Giving them food.
I'm gonna talk to him.
You want some potato chips?
Oh, because those are too hot for her.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, what are you doing here?
Hey, actually, come here. I need to talk to you.
Thank you.
I was following you the entire time.
Oh, yeah?
After I give you the money, there's a camera. My camera is right there. You see the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Do you even know them? Like,
no.
I feel like I owe you apologies because I. You went to a liquor store, right, earlier?
Oh, you thought I was gonna get all smacked up drunk, huh?
I thought you were gonna buy like alcohol or something.
Yeah, but there's things money can't buy, and my own, I get a happiness out of what I'm doing. No.
Here.
I'm fine.
No, you just touched my heart. You know, this is not $100.
No, this is.
I want you to keep it.
I'm stunned.
I'm stunned by...
I don't know what to say. Usually I'm pretty talkative.
How you end up to, you know, like, where you are right now?
Basically, I was living with my parents, and my stepdad had cancer, and they were getting hospice, but it didn't cover... The insurance only pays so much. I quit working because I had to be available. And so he passed away, and then 2 weeks later, my mother passed away from kidney failure. The building they're in is being sold, the condo... And I all of a sudden found myself homeless. That's been like 4 months now. And there's a lot of people that are just victim of circumstance. And they didn't go homeless because they're late. You know what I mean?
Lazy or like drug addiction.
It could be a divorce. And one thing leads to another. And the man sells his boat, his home, everything. And all of a sudden he finds out he's got no money. And he's, you know, there's a lot of good people that are homeless. If you're doing good... You somehow be on a seam and you meet, bump into good people. That's all there is to it. You're on a different path somehow in life. I can't explain it. Good seeing you again.
Can't believe that just happened. Wow.
Test. Who thought when the man was going into the liquor store that he was just going to grab some alcohol? Yep. We all thought that, didn't we? And yet, this man, who he had never met before, went to these people in the park that he had never met before and just gave them money after having nothing himself. Now, the reason why I show that video, hopefully it's become very clear. But which kingdom do you think he belongs to? Even though we didn't even hear the word God at all during that whole video. Do you think he belongs to the kingdom of the world or the upside kingdom of Christ? Of Christ. Because he had nothing to give, and when he was given something, he just wanted to serve others with it. And then he would just walk away. And that's kind of like us. Really, when we think about who we are, our value is nothing. If you don't believe in God, and if you don't believe in a faith past this, then guess what? We're all going to go the same place, which is just in the ground. And we're worth nothing, no matter how much your net worth is right now. But if you follow Christ and you believe in who he is and you accept a sacrifice, then you are worth more than anything in this world. And so that value that you have, Jesus says, go, give, serve. Don't keep it to yourself. You have the most valuable thing that anyone could ever have in this world, and that is the gospel message. And the reason that Christ died for you is because he loves you. That's why we're going to go and do foot washing. That's why we're going to do the communion service, because we want to partake in the upside down kingdom of Christ. Let me say that one thing again. The greatest is not the one that others serve, but the one that serves others.